Welcome to the Side Hustle to Small Business podcast, powered by Hiscox. I'm your host, Sanjay Parekh. Throughout my career, I've had side hustles, some of which have turned into real businesses. But first and foremost, I'm a serial technology entrepreneur. In the creator space, we hear plenty of advice on how to hustle harder and why you can sleep when you're dead. On this show, we ask new questions in hopes of getting new answers. Questions like, how can small businesses work smarter? How do you achieve balance between work and family? How can we redefine success in our businesses so that we don't burn out after year three? Every week, I sit down with business founders at various stages of their side hustle to small business journey. These entrepreneurs are pushing the envelope while keeping their values. Keep listening for conversation, context, and camaraderie. Today's guest is JC Lund, the founder of Atlanta-based branding company Treebird Branding, a company that specializes in social media marketing, email marketing, campaigns, brand extensions, and much more. JC, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm excited to have you on because, you know, branding is one of those things that people don't necessarily always think about. And it's one of those things that you see when it's done poorly. But before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about you and what got you to where you are now.
Yeah, happy to. So I started Treebird about 11 years ago, and I always tell people that I started it because of spite. I was working at an agency, and I had kind of hit like a natural ceiling there. And it was a PR agency, and so I was their creative director. And I always say, like, on the PR side, when they're doing their job, they're being cautious. And so on the creative side, you know, we want to throw caution to the wind. And so there was just some, like, you know, kind of pressure there that I wasn't enjoying. And I was like, it's time to go do my own thing. And so that's how I started Treebird, by myself at the kitchen table, pretended that one of my best friends and husband worked on the team with me, but it was really by myself. And then, you know, just started building our book of clients. And so I have a lot of experience in the hospitality space and multifamily. And then, started hitting some initial goals, and then hired my first employee that first year, which was really a big surprise for me. And then we've just been growing ever since. We're a team of 10 now. And so that's kind of where we got started.
Yeah, that's awesome. What did you do before Treebird?
So I was working as a creative director at the PR agency.
So before that, anything entrepreneurial or anything else like that in your history?
No, I was working as a membership director at a YMCA and realized that I don't enjoy doing spreadsheets. And so I wanted to do creative. And then I went to the creative circus and ended up teaching there for a couple of years. And then I really wanted to do restaurant branding. And then that's how I ended up at the PR agency, because they work with restaurants. And so that's how I got there.
So, I mean, you can be creative with Excel spreadsheets, but that's usually a bad thing and can get you into a lot of trouble. So, probably shouldn't do that.
Right. And I just recently, like, you know, really got into the business ownership side because I'm trying to grow the business. And so now I feel like I'm way more into spreadsheets than creative. So, like, I've kind of flopped back, but I like my spreadsheets now and they look pretty. So.
Yeah. So let's talk about that first year. You said, like, within the first year, you hired your first employee. What helped you get to that point? Revenue was obviously coming in. Like, how much are we talking about? And you were like, okay, I got to spend some of this money to keep growing and hire somebody else.
Yeah. Well, my initial goal was to make $1,000 a month. So I was like, let me just at least make $1,000 a month. We blew right into that. And so I was making like around like 10 to 20 a month. And I found
that was a low bar that you had set there then.
we were busy. And what I found too, is that like so many of the people that I worked with, they just wanted to support me as an entrepreneur because they had made a similar step. And so the clients they were ordering jobs and ordering work that they didn't even need just because they wanted to make sure that I was busy. So I think that too, like if someone's thinking about making this leap, you will be shocked by how much people are willing to support you because they have done it themselves. Yeah. And so that's just like kind of like our origin there. And I just got too busy and that I needed someone to really help me with the execution and then just continue to like grow and foster the team. And that's how it happened. So
yeah,
it was pretty quick.
Was that group of initial clients something that you had cultivated while you were working, or like, how did you know those folks or how did they know you?
I had gotten a pretty good reputation in the industry for creative for like, you know, restaurants and retail and things. And so there wasn't an agreement with the old agency. And so they were, some of them were able to just like come my way.
Switch over. How many years did you spend at that previous agency that helped you build up these relationships?
It was about 5 years.
5 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. So not a very long amount of time, but long enough that you got some good clients out of it. That's
great.
Yeah. So when you were starting this, was there anything that made you nervous, that made you second guess? Like, should I even be doing this?
Oh, I was terrified. And, you know, I had been thinking about starting Treebird for a while and I had everything all set up. I had the website ready to go. And then I had a complete melty. Like I had a whole meltdown when I was going to send the email out to just like announce the business. And whenever I think about our anniversary, I think about that moment and my husband yelling at me, like, just send the email. Cause I was terrified because I had this precious secret. And so then like when it's out there in the world, it's no longer yours. And so that's what it was. And then immediately following that was like, just like tons of support and so many jobs and stuff coming in, just people like, you know, wanting to make sure that I was busy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of melty that you had there, that was after you'd already quit the job, right? Like you were already in at this point. Okay.
Oh, I was all the way in. I was like 3 months after I had left the job. And so I wanted to like give it a little bit of space. And that's when that happened.
And 3 months in, you were still second guessing the whole thing. That's amazing.
Oh yeah. 11 years later, I still, I'm like, what am I doing?
And what was it like? I don't know that I've asked many people about this, but what was it like when you quit? Like, how did you quit the previous job? Like you weren't really going directly into something at that point. So what did you tell them? What did you say?
I basically said like, I don't know what I'm doing yet. Cause it was true. I still hadn't really decided. I had some interviews lined up. And so I just remember, they were very sweet and we went out to like a little happy hour on my last day. And I remember driving away and I just was like, oh my gosh, I am so free. I'm so free because now I'm in charge. And like that feeling has not gone away. Like it was such an empowering experience. And then the next day I went to a lawyer just to make sure that like, okay, if I do this, like, am I solid?
And I'm good. Yeah. Yeah. Did you feel any, because you know, leaving jobs, and I've left a number of jobs too. You even things that I've started myself, there's like a little bit of melancholy. Like you miss the people, you miss the stuff. Did you have any of that or was it just I'm glad to be free?
Of course. My best friends in Atlanta are all from that job, but luckily we've all been able to maintain closeness. I will say too, though, as a business owner, there is a loneliness that you feel because I don't have work buds anymore. I have employees.
Right.
And like, you know, all of my friends and family are W-2 employees. And so that had been a real challenge for a long time. And then luckily I found the EO organization, which is, you know, entrepreneurs all connected together. And that's where I've kind of like met that need for like having kind of like work buds.
Right. Yeah. That was the exact question I was going to ask. Who do you talk about or talk with about your challenge as an entrepreneur? Because a lot of people, they just don't understand the things that we go through. So
yeah,
you've got, I'm assuming, a forum and then your chat, you've got people that you can chat with regularly.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, it's been such an amazing experience. I've been in EO in the accelerator program for a little over a year, and you don't realize too, like, every problem you could ever have as a business owner has already happened. And you just have to ask, like, there's a solution for you. You're not actually that special. Like, it doesn't matter your business. Someone has gone through it and they're there to help and like share your story. And it's just like such a supportive community. Like it's been wonderful.
Yeah. So the accelerator program is a program that helps companies like yours get to $1 million in revenue, right? Is that the goal or is
it bigger than that? That's the goal.
Okay. Yeah. And that's a program here in the Atlanta Entrepreneurs Organization. Is it in other EO chapters?
In most. I will brag to say that the Atlanta chapter does have one of the biggest and strongest accelerator programs. So
yeah, I believe they were probably one of the first ones too. I think they were very early on in that process.
I'm not quite sure, but let's just say, yeah.
I feel like that's true. I feel like somebody's told me that. And if not, we're just going to pretend.
It's true today.
It's true today. So let's switch gears a little bit and related to kind of talking about that and not necessarily having people that you can talk to, like, how do you manage then just the overall stress of owning? You've got 10 employees. Something's going on with somebody all the time, probably, right? When it's more than one, something's probably going on all the time. How do you manage that? How do you separate that from, you know, life stuff and your personal life and all of those things?
Yeah. And what I've basically come to realize, and this has started before EO, and that has just kind of like really grown me in this thinking, is that, like, you know, my history is as a graphic designer, as a creative director. It turns out I'm not an expert at HR. And that I've had to kind of, like, you know, building this business, I've had to kind of learn everything the hard way. And that had I known this in the beginning, I probably, well, I would have needed a lot more funding to start besides just a computer. But like having a fractional HR person to help, like, you know, weather through some of the storms. I would say we, because we do it as a group now. We are so good at hiring now. And so, like, that process is something that just grew over time as the culture of the business has changed too. And then also, like, I feel like I'm stronger as an employer of knowing when it's time to cut ties. And then I also have the support of a fractional HR person, making sure that I'm covered. And then this year too, just like, you know, just talking about fractional help, is I just hired a fractional CFO, because also it turns out I'm not a financial expert. So, you know, it's helping me so much to keep myself in the right seat. You know, we focus as employers is like right seats for your team, but it's also realizing like what my strengths are, and that as an entrepreneur, you end up doing a little of everything, but, you know, whatever you can, give up that seat and give it to the expert, because they're so much better than I could ever do it.
Yeah. You touched on two positions that I am reasonably good at doing, HR and finance stuff, but I do not enjoy either one of those. I would much rather somebody else do it, and then I can look at the output and say yay or nay. But yeah, man, there's people that really love that stuff. More power to you.
Yeah. Let the people that love it do it. Yeah. Because if you don't want to do it, it's not going to be good.
Exactly. And it's just like, you have to dig into so many things, and it's not fun when you don't enjoy it. And so for other folks, yeah, I have a hard time like identifying, like, why do you enjoy that? Because I really don't, but I guess there's things that I enjoy that they don't enjoy. So it's vice versa there.
Support for this podcast comes from Hiscox, committed to helping small businesses protect their dreams since 1901. Quotes and information on customized insurance for specific risks are available at Hiscox.com. Hiscox, the business insurance expert.
Okay, so you've got 10 employees, you've got a business, things could be happening all the time, right? You've got clients and they've got demands and weekends and after hours and all that stuff. So how do you set boundaries for yourself, and do you set boundaries, and how do you manage those to make sure that you stay sane?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a wife and a mother. And so, like, there's certain times of the day that are really sacred, and no client or employee gets to take those times. And so, like, by setting those boundaries with myself, like, we don't do evenings, we don't do weekends. This is not life or death work that we're doing. Everyone's going to be fine. And so by setting those boundaries for myself, I set them for the team. And so they get to enjoy a really great work-life balance as well. And that's just like baked into our culture here. And also because I set it for the team, it resets it. It's for myself. So that when I feel myself getting pulled into it, I know I'm not going to bother someone on the weekend, because I shouldn't be anyways for my own reasons. So yeah, setting those boundaries, I think I had to do some physical things at first for that. We've always had an office. Well, not always. Within the first year, we got our first office. And I had to start leaving my computer at the office, so because I couldn't turn it off. Now I'll take it home and I don't use it for work, and it's fine. But that was my first, like, it was like a physical boundary to stop.
Huh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that as a trick, because you don't have an option there at that point.
Yeah, like, what am I going to do? I don't have access.
I'll do it on Monday or do it tomorrow. Yep. I do want to circle back to something you said a couple of minutes ago about you've gotten really good at hiring. And that's actually one of the areas that's probably the toughest for a lot of people. So before starting your own company, had you ever hired and fired anybody, or was this the first time you had to do that?
Yeah, I was on the like team to hire people at the previous agency. And then I had support too at my previous job as the membership director at the Y, but no, never completely on my own. Yeah. And so
And what about firing? Had you ever fired anybody before?
With help, but it was not, yeah, it was not something that I felt like I really owned that process before.
Right.
And so that was really scary too, because, you know, I'm so sensitive to like, this is people's livelihoods.
Yeah.
Also, I'm also aware that like, it shouldn't be a surprise. Like, you know, like we should be talking along the way, you know, and so right. like, but yeah, like figuring it out was definitely a lot of trial and error.
Yeah. Hey, amazingly, you say that it shouldn't be a surprise, but I think for most people it is.
Otherwise they wouldn't be getting fired.
Right. Yeah. They would be doing better because they don't realize how poorly they are doing in the eyes of others.
Yeah.
You know, I often say like firing is probably one of the most important skills for an entrepreneur. And I still do not understand why we do not teach this as a skill in school. You know, in high school, maybe even in college, wherever, like you should be teaching these skills about how to hire and fire employees, because, you know, hopefully these are folks that are all going to be managing folks at some point, or if not, like learning how to manage that when you do get fired or hired.
Yeah. Like how to have tough conversations. Like, you know, I need everyone to be happy and like me at all times. So it's hard, you know, it sometimes that can be really hard, and I've let things go on far too long because I've been avoiding the challenge. So yeah, I would have loved to have had those skills, but now I just have the right person doing it with me or for me. So yeah.
That's even better maybe. Okay. You had mentioned a little bit ago about setting these boundaries, and you set it for the company so that it also sets it for yourself. Is there other things that you've done in terms of the core values or company culture that you've done very intentionally or specifically, or maybe done accidentally, and now you're like, oh, we should keep doing that?
Yeah. So we've gotten really into our core values in the last year. We didn't have any before. And so now it's become kind of a really emotional process for us. We can be a little witchy over here. And so just taking time every quarter to acknowledge everyone's efforts and within the core values to drive that home has been a really powerful experience. So with every core value, because we're tree bird branding, there's a bird associated with it.
Okay.
And then also everyone gets a crystal that represents the core value. It's wild, but basically like there's not like one crystal assigned to the value. It's like what's right for that person in that moment.
Yeah.
And so it's just been this really deep level of engagement with the team. We also have some like big awards that go out every quarter. So we had one that was like, you know, the soul of the family for one of our teammates that really is our glue that keeps us together. We have another that was called like the ice baby, because if there's a problem, you know, Lauren solves it. And so she got that one.
I was going to go with, they just randomly wrap in the office, but okay,
I mean,
cool,
maybe
that
she
was
did
better.
But yeah, she's like our problem solver. And so I had even asked them too, like, do you want these big ones to repeat? We've been doing it for a year. And they were like, no, we want you to keep making them up. And so I was like, okay, pressure. But it's actually really fun, and I feel like it helps them to really feel seen. And then there's just like a lovely, beautiful embodiment of this moment that just like sits on their desk. And then hopefully, you know, if you believe in the energetic powers of crystals, like it's doing that for them too.
Yeah. Well, so what are all of the core values then, since you've just figured them out in the last year?
Okay. So yeah, there's flexibility, you know, and that's with the team and with our clients. Quality. We always want to make sure that we're producing quality work. Inclusion. And so it's about including others, but also making sure that we're looking at everything that we're doing through like diverse lenses. Like I always tell the team too, like we can't be putting something out that's just got a bunch of white ladies on it. You know, like there has to be like, a, you know, variation in every demographic we can come up with in all of our work. Oh my gosh. Now I'm blanking.
It's only a year old, the value.
So, I know. You know, like, how can I not think
it's not fully embedded
quality,
yet?
Quality, inclusion, vision, because, you know, we can see the future. That's what we're doing. Yeah. We're creating something out of nothing. And now the fifth one is totally escaping me. I'm not going to waste any time looking it up. It'll come in like 2 minutes. Yeah.
I think it's the vanilla ice value right
it's
there.
It's the ice I think is the problem.
Okay, JC, you've been doing this now for 11 years. And even though the first 3 months were very questionable of the 11 years, if you could go back in time and do something differently, what would that be?
This question just came up at a dinner not too long ago. Like, if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing? And I always think, like, what the hell else would I do? I mean, this is my specific skill set.
But what would you do different? Like, is there something, like, looking back, it's like, oh, if I'd known this, I could have done this better.
I wonder about that too. Like, had I known then what I knew now, would I have had an HR person in the beginning? Would I have had a CFO from the beginning? Like, having more support in the team would have been great. But I also feel like because of the trials and tribulations we've gone through over 11 years, I'm stronger for it.
Right.
So it's hard
like,
to say.
Like, you don't feel like you hired the first employee too early, too late? Like, could you have done it at a different time and it would have been better for you?
No, I feel like I still feel really great about that first hire. She was awesome. And she stayed with me for about 5 years. So, no regrets there. Nothing I would have done differently. I think here's where I feel like I would love to make a change is knowing when to say no. Knowing when to say no and feeling more empowered and stronger in saying no. And also just being willing to admit that, like, we're a business that needs to make money. And so I feel like, you know, we get so chummy with our clients too. We're doing favors and things like that. That comes at a personal cost to only me.
Right.
And so, like, really, like, putting my foot down to, like, actually acknowledge to our clients, like, we're a business. Like, we deserve to make money at this. That's something I wish I had done. I've been doing that for about 2 years. I wish I'd been doing that for 11.
Yeah. And that's a hard thing because you do want to be personable and friendly to your clients. And you want them to like, that's what all humans, right? You want people to like you and I can do you this favor and you're going to like me more, but you know, that's not going to pay the rent.
Non-billable hours are costing only me.
Right. Exactly. So how did you, that's an interesting insight. How did you make that transition and realize 2 years ago, like, oh, we need to cut this out?
It came from within and like, you know, now like we've got like a profitability model and things that we're able to do, like whereas before it was just kind of a sense of things. And so now like we actually like speaking of those awesome spreadsheets, like we're really into it and we're able to look at a job for like, you know, what it is. And we're more empowered now to communicate with our clients about like what's in and out of scope because we're tracking stuff so much more closely than before. Like I was a lot more like, I don't know, loosey-goosey about it because I hated tracking time as a designer.
Right.
But we have to do that as a business.
Yeah, absolutely. Is this something that you share with your team, your employees? Do they actually understand on a client-by-client basis like what's going on in profitability and things like that?
Yeah, that has been a big shift, I think, since joining EO is about like, you know, clarity being kindness. And we're also working through like the EOS method and traction. And so we've got the scorecard and everything. And so now, whereas, you know, I was very lonely in like knowing what was going on with our financials. Now everyone knows at any moment what's going on. So that all of that information is shared. And that's been really a wonderful experience, I think, for me and for the team to know exactly where we're at, you know, on any given day.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Two more questions for you. First, what would you tell somebody who's thinking about taking the leap like you did and launching a company, quitting their job, launching a company, or launching a side hustle? What advice would you give somebody like that?
Okay, first I would say do it. But also as a branding agency, have a good brand. You know,
I like that you're staying on message there.
Yeah. Have a good brand. You know, people can tell if it's been DIY'd. And so like, if you want that trust and credibility, if you want to be a luxury service or offering, like you need to make sure that you look like one. Cause, today's average, like audience, they're very sophisticated. And so making sure that you really, truly have that foundation ready to go and then launch, like, you know, make that investment. But again, take that with a grain of salt because I'm the branding agency, but make that investment. It's going to make a huge difference for your brand.
Yeah. What's the biggest problem that you've seen when people build their brand or their logo or something like that? They do it themselves or whatever. Like what's like that one or two things that people should absolutely 100% not do and they keep doing over and over again?
I love this question. It comes up often. It's doing anything trendy. If you're looking at something and you see it everywhere and you think it's cool, it's going to not look cool in a couple of years. You're going to be doing a whole rebrand and it's a gut job. So if it's like some cool font that you're seeing everywhere and you want to blend in and use it, no, yeah. It needs to be for your audience, unless it's a trendy product or service that you know is going to be gone in 5 years. Like if, you know, when like cupcakes were all the craze or something and like, you right. know, that's not going to last forever. But yeah, just beware of trends. You know, in 11 years, I can't think of a client that had that was the same business that had to like do a complete gut job on the brand because we're so focused on like very custom creative and that it is like, you know, with that longevity in mind, it's going to be classic for a reason. You know, it's just like why, like now, everyone's got to repaint their houses because everyone did gray. And of course,
right.
Your gray house, it doesn't look so hot, you know, you're trying to sell it because everything looks the same. And right. So it's the same thing with your business.
Yeah. To me, this sounds like when the hot thing in domain names was the .ly domain and everything was something yeah. .ly, something.
Yeah.
And now you don't have any of those, right? Like even Bitly, which is the classic one, uses bitly.com and not bit.ly anymore, really, unless they're using it for their URLs.
You brought up a good point too. Get the .com. Yeah, don't get any other thing. Also, for anyone starting a business, the faster you ditch your Gmail address for your professional address, the better. That's like anytime anyone is talking to us about branding, that their first homework assignment is do not do business as a Gmail. That is immediately like you're going to, you know, give people the startup DIY taste in their mouth.
I got to admit, I'm flabbergasted when I see companies that do have their own domain, they have their own website, and yet they still have a Gmail account or a Yahoo account or whatever account for their email. I'm like,
yeah.
You have a domain, just point it. You don't
you
need to be doing
that. You can
still
use Gmail. You don't have to be an right. Outlooker. Yeah, it's fine, but yeah, don't sell yourself short with a Gmail.
And if you don't know how to do that, spend $50, ask somebody that's technical, get them to set it up for you. Because it's not looking good. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I knew how to set up my website, but I didn't know how to set up my email. That's what you're telling
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Yeah. It's those first impressions, those like little key pieces like that, that can make such a big difference.
Right. Right. And people like me are judgy. So don't do
same.
Those things. We got two judgy people on a podcast.
Yeah.
That's probably not ideal, but it is what it is. JC, this has been fantastic. Where can our listeners find and connect with you?
Absolutely. You can find Treebird at treebirdbranding.com or you can see a lot of cool stuff on our Instagram at treebirdbranding. And then anyone can always hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm always ready to chat. So JACILUND on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on today.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Side Hustle to Small Business podcast powered by Hiscox. To learn more about how Hiscox can help protect your small business through intelligent insurance solutions, visit hiscox.com. That's HISCOX.com. And if you have a story you want to hear on this podcast, please visit hiscox.com/share-your-story. I'm your host, Sanjay Parekh. You can find out more about me at my website, sanjayparekh.com.